Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us. Today we're joined by Catherine from the United States, who takes LDN for a variety of conditions. Thank you for joining us, Catherine.
Thank you for having me.
So can you describe for us the symptoms that you were experiencing prior to having a diagnosis and how long that diagnosis took to come?
It was a long time to get the diagnosis of mast cell activation syndrome. In my mid-20s, I started having a lot of gastrointestinal symptoms, things like nausea, vomiting, bloating, just my appetite started to decrease, and it being in your mid-20s and having such severe gastrointestinal symptoms, doctors don't tend to take you too awful serious because they don't think you're because you're young, you don't have that serious of a condition. And it took almost 2 years to get a diagnosis of gastroparesis. And they didn't know why I had gastroparesis. And they put me on an awful medication for that at the time, which thankfully I was able to meet another doctor to get me on a better medication for that. Then over the years, you know, I struggled on and off with gastroparesis. Then I'd have other random things that couldn't be explained, like hearing loss. I ended up with hearing aids in my late 30s. I developed restless leg syndrome in my late 30s. I've always had sensitivities to a lot of things, fragrances, medications, antibiotics. I'm allergic to almost every antibiotic there is out there. Just a variety of things that I've been sensitive to for no apparent reason. Then I became very sick again in my late 30s. Ended up through over a year of different testing and different doctors figuring out I had median arcuate ligament syndrome, which is another condition that's tied to gastroparesis and sometimes mast cell activation disorder. Had to have undergo major surgery for that. But even after that, I still wasn't 100% right. And I still felt like there was something that was still being missed, even after all of those things. And after seeing a functional medicine doctor for about a year, they encouraged me to get, they recognized all of these different things and encouraged me to get tested for it. So it was 4 years ago now that I got diagnosed. In my early 40s, so it took about 20 years to get a diagnosis after severe symptoms started showing up. So it was a long, long journey to get the diagnosis.
And how did it make you feel not being able to have that diagnosis to prove to people that it wasn't psychological?
Oh my goodness. It's especially in the very beginning, when I was in my 20s having problems, I would go see the doctor, you know, something's not right. I don't feel good. And they would do a test. I felt like just to appease me and then it would come back normal. And they'd say, oh, it's irritable bowel syndrome, or maybe you need to get on an antidepressant or something of that sort. And it was very defeating, and it made me start questioning, my own beliefs about what was happening to my body. And it's very troubling. And it does send you into an actual depression, because you don't understand what's going on and no one can help you.
Could you explain to us, before you were diagnosed, what a typical day would look like from when you got up to when you went to bed?
I often would struggle to get out of bed. I was very fatigued a lot of the time. Struggled to eat. I'd often have to force myself to eat. And when I did, it was very little. My husband would constantly be checking in on me. How long's it been since you've eaten? And things like that, because it was like those parts of my system just didn't work. I didn't have hunger triggers and things like that. I had to be careful what I ate, because if I ate certain things, it would send my body into a frenzy. And also things like weather, if it was super cold or super hot. I had to be careful to exposing myself to those kinds of conditions for very long also, because if I was exposed to a long period of cold or hot, it would wipe me out for days.
What about your sleep? Were you able to sleep?
Oh, sleep has never been easy for me. It typically takes me a good hour to fall asleep once I go to bed, and then waking up multiple times in the night is pretty common. And not being able to go to sleep, and then it makes it hard to get up in the morning. My alarm go off, hit snooze several times before I am able to get out of bed.
So at that time, what would you have said your quality of life was like on a score of 1 to 10, 10 being the best?
Oh, I would say overall, for the most part, I was around a five. I was existing, I was functioning, but on a low level. I truly think I've heard the term invisible illness, and I truly think that described what I was living. On the surface, everybody looked at me, in my daily work life, and thought I was fine, but they didn't know how hard I was struggling from day to day.
So, how easy was it to find your functional medicine doctor?
That was not easy at all. In the Midwest, that tends to be not a very common thing. I do think in the last couple of years, it's starting to trend more in the Midwest, in the United States. But I had to travel 2 hours to find a functional medicine doctor. Actually, I got the referral from a dietitian that I was seeing. There was one clinic in the area I live in, but they did not take insurance at all, and the costs were extremely high. So I chose to drive to the other clinic that did at least accept insurance for the office visits, and their overall costs were lower.
What state are you in, if you don't mind me asking?
Missouri.
Missouri. Okay. And I imagine a 2 hour car journey when you've got to come back, making it a 4 hour journey, plus the time in the office, must have been so exhausting for you.
I mean, if I had an appointment, it was basically an entire day, spent for that doctor's appointment.
So what did your doctor, what tests did she do initially?
They did a full blood panel, but they also looked at for things like leaky gut syndrome. They looked at vitamin and mineral levels, along with all of the standard, complete blood count type things. They did, I believe I did a stool test. Goodness, they did several things looking at a large scope of things on me.
And once you got those diagnoses, what was the protocol plan that you were given?
I actually they the functional medicine doctor actually referred me to another doctor to get the diagnosis of mast cell activation syndrome, who's actually a gastroenterologist that has taken special interest in mast cell because of the gastrointestinal complications that it has. For that doctor, I filled out a very, very long, extensive questionnaire, which was basically if you hit on 14 of the markers, then they would consider you a candidate for mast cell and then test further. And I hit on 27 of the markers.
Wow.
So they figured I was a very strong candidate. They did the tryptase, urine sample testing, which can be tricky. You have to have kind of a heightened state of mast cell activation at the time. Mine was on the high end of normal, so that didn't definitively diagnose me, but it's not uncommon to have a normal tryptase on that test just because it can be so finicky. But we did go ahead and start with treatment, which consisted of multiple doses of antihistamines, type 1, H1, and H2 blockers. And taking lots of supplements to support the body's natural histamine degrading system, enzymes and supplements like, oh my gosh, the main one is just flew out of my head, but lots of supplements, lots of antihistamines, and then slow introduction to the low dose naltrexone, starting on a low dosage and then slowly ramping up to 4.5 milligrams. I feel like the low dose naltrexone has been the best thing to help with my restless leg syndrome, because that can be one of the most frustrating symptoms, especially when it involves sleep, because it happens right as you're trying to fall asleep at night, trying to relax and wind down, and then your legs just start activating and you just can't be still. So I feel like the low dose naltrexone has really been helpful for that.
And how long did it take taking the H1 and H2 blockers and the supplements to start feeling like you again?
I feel like it took 8 months to a year. I also did a complete elimination diet during all of that as well to find my food triggers as well. So it took, about that time to really find all of those food triggers, and also in the process learning what environmental factors to try and stay away from chemicals that enter in our everyday household items, like, lotions and soaps and cleaners and things like that. So it was a balance between medication supplements and then environmental triggers and food triggers. But yeah, I would say it was about 8 months to a year.
And you said that you'd been on LDN and all your other treatments for a few years now. What would you say your quality of life is like now on that score of 1 to 10?
I would say I'm about an 8. I still have to be very careful about what I eat and what I'm exposed to and things, but as long as I stick to those protocols, I do pretty well.
It's a lifelong thing, isn't it? I mean, I've spoken to so many people with MCAS, and it's a bit like being a diabetic. Diabetics have to be very careful. And when you've got MCAS, you have to be careful because you can be in remission and everything's fine, and then a trigger can come and bam. So, and you don't know when that's going to happen, and you don't always know what that trigger's going to be. Even
And
if
it can
you're
be
very careful.
stress. It can.
Yes.
I actually left a job because the stress, I knew the stress was contributing greatly to my health as well. So I left a job after my treatment began, which I also think was a big contributor to how good I feel now.
Good. What would you say to other people who have gone like 20 years like you have, who, as you were saying, all these symptoms not being believed makes you depressed? And I don't think it's just you. I think if you took a healthy person and gave them all those symptoms and then say, how do you feel? They're going to feel depressed. It's just the way it is. But they still haven't yet got a diagnosis. What would your message be to those people who are desperate to get some idea of what's wrong with them and how it can be fixed?
I would say keep pushing, keep trying. If your current doctor isn't believing you or isn't doing the right tests, then research and find a doctor that's going to go the extra mile, gonna listen to you, gonna take you serious, and don't be afraid to question your doctor. If your doctor's suggesting something that you don't feel is right, then question it. That's something I wish I had done back in my 20s. When I was prescribed the initial medication I was for gastroparesis, it's now black boxed. I could have ended up with irreparable damage of tardive dyskinesia if I would have stayed on the medication that I had for longer. It's very, you have to take control of your own health. You have to be your own advocate. And don't be scared to fight for what you believe.
Because who knows your body better than you?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I who's been prescribing LDN since 2005, and I've seen the wonders, and I keep on seeing them, especially in hard to diagnose conditions. They're not that hard to do, but once you know about mast cell activation syndrome, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, and Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, you'll find that 17% of your friends or relatives have one or more of these conditions, and you can help them. We're making a documentary to wake up the medical community, to educate the population, but we need funding. So please fund whatever you can afford, no matter how little. www.mcasfund.com. That's mcasfund.com.
Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, Linda, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.